ladies and gentlemen, after I had been living in Manhattan for several years, I realized that the word transit, which is all over the subway system, is pure Latin. This was a big surprise. Why had nobody mentioned it to me? So I started collecting all the words that were letter for letter identical in Latin and English. Now, they had to be common words and no medical or legal terms. They don't impress anybody. Now, along the way, I asked people if they knew any English Latin identicals. Half the people said, no, that never happens. The other half said, yeah, there's some, but I can't think of one. Isn't that odd? Teachers had not been taught to take advantage of what is dramatic, near at hand, unforgettable. The word exit is everywhere in our lives, a constant reminder that another language came along before we did, and that language is still part of our lives. My Latin-English list, which topped out at 333 words, was published in 1985. I think it will be a memorable mnemonic for many years. Our schools are teaching less and less, but this list teaches a lot about Latin and English very quickly, so it's an equalizer. I just posted an update about Latin Lives On and where people can find the list, which includes such Latin English words as labor, ego, editor, actor, regimen, factor, stimulus, arena, mentor, appendix, monitor, iris, honor, and 320 more. Many people think my goals are linguistic or etymological. No, I'm just trying to show that we don't take advantage of the easy ways to teach everything. Let's say you were an English teacher, and you could discuss this list and show it to the kids and talk about Rome. And you could show the Colosseum. You could show the scene from Gladiator where Russell Crowe is fighting the tigers. And you could say, people in that audience 2,000 years ago were speaking these words. Now that's certainly interesting. Safe rule of thumb, if you're trying to teach something quickly, ask the lazy guy how to do this. That's me. The lazy guy will always find the quick way to do things, because ignorance means you have to work harder, and the lazy guy doesn't want to work at all. Now when I started taking Latin in 7th grade, I didn't know what a foreign language was. I didn't know what a noun or a verb was. I didn't know anything because the public schools in Virginia Beach didn't teach these things. With this list, you can teach Latin and English at the same time quickly, as opposed to teaching nothing very slowly. You just have to be clever and resourceful. Here's another example. Think about the word camouflage. Almost every animal employs camouflage. If children talk about camouflage, even a little, they would look at birds, cats, and so on more closely. Point to an animal and ask the question, where is the camouflage in this picture? What is its purpose? Thus begins a solid foundation in biology, nature, and the great outdoors. Most children don't know that each branch of service, Marines, Air Force, and so on, has a different camouflage patterns. You know, for their uniforms. A lot of thought goes into which pattern to choose, but the point is they work because they confuse your brain. Camouflage is a special kind of optical illusion. Then, if we look at every tank, every truck, every artillery piece, you see they're painted to blend with the terrain. Every ship in wartime is painted differently. The most extraordinary camouflage was in World War I, when they called in magicians to explain how to hide a ship. See graphic. I think the goal must always be to find the easiest, simplest, cheapest way to do everything. For me, the Latin Lives On list is a powerful example of how this works. In closing, everyone please go to the list of 333 words. Almost each is a useful, interesting word that every kid should know. Now you have a way to make that process easy. Thank you. Overview. Let's fix
Education explores seven of my favorite themes. First, this podcast is a meditation on what I call the K-12 crime scene. So many destructive ideas. Understanding them is the key to fixing them. Two, by doing that, we will have better schools at less cost. Three, nothing much changes decade to decade. The big questions of the 1930s were the big questions of the 1960s and the 1990s. Any subject we discuss can easily intersect with any other subject. Most people instinctively want traditional education, but the education establishment fills classrooms with progressive gimmicks. The result is that we have a standoff, and that's why you run into the same ideas over and over. Four, the big brains in education keep telling students, don't bother memorizing this or that. You can look it up later. B.B. King, the great guitarist, is much smarter. He said, the beautiful thing about learning is nobody can take it away from you. Five, Lenin's ghost wanders through our school system. The hard left thinks big. If they have to kill millions of people to build their perfect society, that's okay. Same goes for dumbing down millions of students. Totalitarians want power. They will do anything to get it. Six, if we are going to survive, we have to take each child to his or her limit. As it is, we are creating millions of sub-educated students, from K right through college. Seven, analyzing education, especially dysfunctional education, is a lot more intellectually interesting than most people suppose. You'll enjoy this. Finally, P.S., my book, Saving K-12, runs parallel to everything discussed on this podcast. I also have an education site, improve-education.org, with 70 articles that complement everything discussed here. And I have hundreds of articles on the internet. Enter a topic in Google with my full name, Bruce Dietrich Price, and let Google make suggestions. Thank you for visiting.